We're discussing, can my parents' marriage affect my own? Can my parents' marriage affect my own? Praise the Lord. Some years ago, in a meeting like this, I asked everyone in the audience and I said, if there's anyone here that will want to have the kind of marriage their parents have, that they should stand up. That if there's anyone in the audience today that wants to have the kind of marriage your parents have, that means from the years you have lived with your parents and been with your parents, as in you see their marriage and that marriage represents the picture of the kind of marriage you want. Praise the Lord. And only two people stood up in all the crowd of people that were there that day. Only two people. The bad news is that those two people, by the time we interviewed them, they didn't know what they wanted. Because they obviously didn't want their parents' marriage. By the time we interviewed them, we found out that the situations in their house wasn't what they wanted. Maybe they probably didn't understand the question. You know, in every question, in every exam, there are some people that don't understand the question. You know those kind of people. There might be one that even raise their hand quick. Can you say, who can answer this question? I, sir. But then she stand up and tell the answer. No, he didn't even understand what you were asking. That's why he was raising his hand. The two people that stood up, by the time we interviewed them, they didn't want the marriage their parents had. They didn't want the marriage their parents had. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to ask that today. I'm not going to ask you if you want your parents' marriage. But the point is that, because I don't know everybody's situation, but what I want to tell you is that you should make sure, one of the things you should desire is for your own marriage to be the type that your children would like to have. Do you understand? Are you here, somebody? Your own desire should be that your children should be able to look at your marriage and say that this is the kind of marriage that I want to have. This is the kind of marriage. And gradually, more and more, we're getting less and less of those kind of marriages that we like. Praise the Lord. Can my parents' marriage affect my own? The answer is a capital yes. The whole idea is that your parents' marriage is supposed to affect your own positively. Praise the Lord. The whole idea is that your parents' marriage is supposed to affect your own positively. In God's original plan, the home is supposed to be like the model for children. In other words, a child is supposed to learn the major things of his life from his parents. A child's major school is not the school he goes to on Monday to Friday. It is the family he or she grows up. Unfortunately, many young people that are marrying today, they are not planning to have the kind of marriage that will inspire their own children. You see, sometimes when we are young like this, we are making decisions just based on the short term. You're making decisions just based on the short term. You are not thinking far. You just want to get married to anybody. Just like the drama we watched, the guy that was beating his wife was not telling his son that don't beat women. Because how you live your life determines whether you will ever be in a position to teach or to mentor. Some people, by the way they live their lives, they've already destroyed any chance of them mentoring any other person. I said it, I think in the morning, or I don't know whether it's here or somewhere else, that one of the greatest joys of your life, one of the greatest achievements of your life should be when your own children say that you, as their parents, are his or her mentor. When your child can call you as a parent their mentor or his mentor. It's easy to have a mentor that is not your father. But when your own child that lives with you in the house looks at you and say, this is my mentor. You see, this is who I want to be when I grow up. That is the greatest privilege in life. And many parents never have that privilege till they die. And some young people are living in a way now that they will not. You see, don't be the negative motivation in your child's life. You know, some children, they look at their parents and say, this is exactly who I don't want to be. The entire look at you, it motivates me to work hard. To know that I must not end like you. That's a curse. It's a curse for your children to draw strength from the fact that they don't want to be like you. Instead, the ideal is that for your children to look at you and say, my mother is my mentor, my father is my mentor, that this is the man I want to be when I grow up. Praise the Lord. Are you getting this, somebody? That is my own dream in life. My church members might not see me as a mentor, but my child that lives with me in the house should be able to look at me and say, this is the kind of guy I want to be. Praise God. This is the guy I want to be. Be an interesting dad. Be an interesting mom. Be an understanding mom. You should be fair, mom, and discipline your children, but still be the kind of mom that your kids can feel safe talking to you. You can know what's up. You can be dad in touch. So in God's original plan, he actually wanted the children to be mentored and schooled by parents. In fact, when God set up the whole world, he didn't set up schools. Schools came because parents can't do their job. So school is like a backup plan. God didn't set up school. Not that school is bad or anything. School is good, of course, but God didn't set up school. There are two institutions God set up by himself. The first one is marriage. The second one that came later is church. The first one is marriage. In God's mind, all the problems of life should have been solved inside marriage. A child should be mentored from marriage. A child should learn character from marriage. A daughter should learn how to be a mother in the home. That's where she should learn it. A son should learn how to be a father from the home. But unfortunately today, you know, the homes are no longer the place for people to learn how to live. It's no more a place to build strong citizens. It's no more a place to build people of character. It's just a place where we all sleep to go out the next day. And that's why God doesn't want single parenting or children outside wedlock. I'm not condemning you if you're already in that situation. As a matter of fact, in our own church, we have single moms fellowship. So it's not that we think you are going to hell. But the point is that that's not God's original plan. God's plan is that everybody should be born into a family where there is a father and a mother. Not two fathers, not two mothers, a father and a mother. Why is it so? One of the reasons it is so is because a man and a woman put together is what represents what God is. When they said he made us in his image and his likeness, it is talking about a man and a woman together. That's when we are God's perfect image. The way I see it, when God made man and said it's not good, he looked for everything that man did not have and he put it inside a woman. So a woman is just everything that the man does not have. That's why we are very different. Because a woman is everything. A woman is like, you know, a movie that is part one and two should not be exactly the same. Am I correct? That's what makes it interesting. It should be under a different storyline. It should take us by surprise. That's what a woman is. Everything a man did not have, God put it in a woman. Praise the Lord. A man is logical. A woman is largely emotional. Women are not logical. Not that they can't think. That's not what logical means. Of course, women are smart. But they make decisions not the way men make decisions. Women are more emotional. A woman makes their decision from an emotional standpoint. In other words, if you want to convince a woman, for instance, to do something, you pass through an emotional route. You will get her to do anything. Praise God. You get her. One temptation just came to me now, but I'm not going to go there. Because there's God. You know, so a woman will generally approach things. I don't know why you're laughing. I'm just facing my own ministry. So, a woman generally, we approach something from an emotional standpoint. That's just, it's not that they're bad or anything. That's just who they are. They are going to approach it from an emotional standpoint. That means if something happens here now, you see the man standing, he's doing like this. He's thinking, what's the way out? The woman will first cry first. No go cry first. Because that's her first response. It's emotional. It's not bad. Everything a man, because a man can be here now. Somebody has died though. He's just looking like, no emotion. No emotion. So everything the man did not have, God put in the woman. Men think slowly and deeply. Women think fast. A woman can think on her toes. A man, if he's thinking, he needs to sit down. I've shared this story many times. When we just got married in our house, we used to have those issues. My wife would tell me something, you know, and I won't answer for days. And she'd be like, I told you something. I said, I've heard. I'm still processing. You know those computer that when you press it, it's showing that sign. I'm processing. The instruction has been received. We are just processing. Our processor is very slow. A man's processor is, I don't know what the going ones now. What's the slow processor? Kingsley, where are you? What's the very slow processor? Very slow. 128 KB. You have not helped us in any shape or form because we still don't understand what you're talking about. Some of you understand, but we don't. We the normal human beings. You know? Okay, what's the very fast processor? 2 GB. You have still not made it better in any way. Okay, but we understand what I'm saying generally. You know, especially those days when computers became common, or started becoming common, you know, we knew the, all those Pentium, all those things, they were talking about how fast processor was, Abby. Abby, King, I thought that's what you were telling me. You were telling me gig, KB, KB. I have no clue what you mean. Basically, what I'm saying is that the woman basically can process information very quickly, very, very quickly. She can think fast. A man, if you tell him something, there was a couple that were doing 10-year wedding anniversary or so, and the woman said, they asked her, what was her biggest surprise in the 10 years of marriage? She said she thought her husband was deaf and dumb when they married. He said, why? He said, because she would tell him something, he would just be looking like this. He won't answer. It was later he found out, okay, he's hearing, you know, it's just that he's thinking. He's thinking. Because men think deeply and slowly. If you tell a man, we should not live in this house again. Maybe the roof is leaking. Rain is making it leak. Or this neighborhood is getting rough. We should not live here again. You tell him that on Monday. In your mind, you think he will answer you that Monday. You think he will answer you that minute. Man is thinking, wait until this neighborhood now. Wait until she says this is neighbor. We want to move out of here. Where are we going to move to? How much is house in that place? How do we even know whether the house too is leaking there? How do we know how the road? This is now 1 year, don't pass. He's thinking. He never even answered you, he's thinking. But a woman can, boom, give you answer right here and now. It might not be well thought out, but she will give you the answer. She processes, pam, 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 pam. So everything the woman, everything the man didn't have, God gave the woman. Most men can't do more than one thing at the same time. The woman can multitask very easily. Praise God. Men don't talk too much. Women can talk. They're like a machine gun. A man is revolver. You know revolver? You know cock and shoot. You don't know cock and shoot. You didn't watch cowboy film when we were young. Cock and shoot. You put one bullet, cock, then shoot. Bwah! Then you open it again. Put bullet. That's man in talking. A woman in talking. Machine gun. Machine gun. Something happens. I talk for 30 minutes and say, I've not even started talking. No. She can't talk. So the issue is this. So when they get married, in God's mind, a man is supposed to learn how to be a man from his father. That's why God doesn't want a single parent home. You know, that's not God's ideal. I understand that sometimes even things like death or other things can even cause single parenting. So I understand that. But I'm just saying, in God's original plan, he wants, you know, sometimes he's even hustling. Maybe the man has traveled abroad to go and hustle. Leave the woman with the child. It's not ideal. The family is meant to be together as in do your best to put it together. Because that boy is not going to learn. There is no other image of being a man that he knows other than the one he sees his father, from his father. He needs to see a man to become a man. That's the only way. And it's always very weird when a woman tries to raise a man. Very weird. Sometimes it turns out right, but most of the time, when you talk to a man that was raised by a woman, you can know. Women will not know, but when the guy comes around men, you can know. He nags. He picked some women things because he grew with his mom. He'll be nagging more than, you know, some of you, you married men like that. They nag more than you. When I say woman, the man nag more than you. Or you marry a man and his own makeup kit. No, some women know what I'm talking about, Abby. There are some men that their own makeup kit pass your own. When you bring out your makeup bag, instead of bring out the makeup bag, you know you are in trouble. When I come, they fight for mirror. Who go use mirror pass? He most likely grew up with you. If you grow up with a man, you don't even cream your body. If you grow up with a man, you can't have cream. Where will you see body cream? Body lotion. If you grow up with a man, body lotion. To do what? Every man has inbuilt body lotion. It's called sweat. Sorry, body lotion. But if you see a man that grows with women, if you see him, the bath, when he can't come out, can't rub. Man, he has three different cream. Now, my mama raised him. He didn't grow with a man. He didn't grow with a man. That's all he could see. So that's all he could become. Many women have complained to me, so I'm not telling you random. I'm telling you this real life. That the guy in his own hair kit. In hair kit alone. And you see, when a man becomes so obsessed with taking care of himself, it just means he won't have time to. He never have to do his own makeup finish. Now your own makeup will go look. He won't have time to comment on you that you're looking fine. He's still trying to get himself to look fine. So usually they don't have time to be nice to a woman. Praise God. So that boy is supposed to learn manhood from his father. Supposed to learn manhood from his father. That's why it's always bad too, as a woman. Please don't marry a lazy man. Don't marry in a situation where you as the woman will be the head of the home. Not that you earn more than the man. That's not what makes you the head. But as in, you are the decision maker because the guy is dull. You are the person calling the shots. Your children will grow. This is how it's going to affect you. Your children will grow thinking that women are supposed to take the lead in the home. So your boys will in fact, and this is, I'm telling you, I've pastored for about 20 years, and I'm a very observant person. I've seen families, many families, reproduce these things over and over again. In a home where the woman is the Voltron of the house. You know some homes like that? The woman is the Voltron. She's not just strongest financially, she's also strongest in decision making. Sometimes she's almost even physically stronger than she can beat the man, almost. You understand the kind of women? They are the one in control of the home. If the decision that needs to be made, you don't bother to ask your father because he can't talk. His word is not anything. You need to ask your mother. If your mother says you are going to go, no matter what your dad says, he will bully your dad into dropping you in the place your dad told you you cannot go. You understand what I'm saying? So the woman is the one in control, both emotionally, financially, mentally, decision making. If you grow up in a home like that, as a lady, the tendency is that you will think that is your role in the home. And you will like to reproduce that in your own marriage, taking control. So I've seen homes that the woman was like that. All the men, I don't even know if I should call them men, but all the male that come out of those homes, they are also dunce like their father. Because the woman dominates and domineers all the male in that house. So the men too grow up and become like dunce. So they can't talk. So even when they marry, they're like that. What do you want to do? They're dull. And all the women that come out of that house take the lead wherever they go. They don't marry real men. They marry, you know, women men that they dominate also. They keep reproducing after that kind because that's all the image they have seen. They don't know better. You see, what happens in your house is what you call normal. Anything outside what happens in your house is not normal. Your normal is what you see in your house. The way you cook meat is the normal way. Until you go to your neighbor's house and see that they cook it differently. Do you understand? Somebody get what I'm saying? You know some people, if they cook fish, they only boil it and eat it like that. Some other people, they fry it. If you're in a home where they don't fry meat, they only boil meat and eat it cooked. You would think that is normal. You think that's how it's been done around the world. Until you eat in your neighbor's house. Say, I'm not fry fish. You say, yes. Say, no, they're not supposed to fry fish. You say, who told you?
Because that's how your parents brought you up. You don't know that there are other ways to do it. You just think this is the only way. So whatever happens in your house is called normal. Do you understand somebody? So if those children grow in a house where the woman is the domineering person and the man is the dunce, they are going to reproduce after that kind. I've seen it so many times. They just reproduce after their kind. Except there's a miracle intervention somewhere. Or that boy, God gives him access to another male figure. Strong male figure that shows him what it means to be a man. He's just going to be like a woman. He's going to be a dunce. Anytime I cancel a boy or a man raised by a woman, I can tell. They are very lazy. If you ask them, why were you not in church today? My rain fell in front of my neighbor's house. They'll be talking dunce. What's wrong with you? And before long, I'll ask them, where is your father? My father left us since I was two. I said, I know. I could see it. That is a woman that brought you up. You're not talking like a man. You're not tall. If you grow up with boys and grow up with men, you learn fast that nobody send you. See, the world of women, the world of men, you know that now. They're different now. A woman, see, it's hard to see homeless women. Homeless women. It's hard. Except she's totally too ugly. And even when she's too ugly, she could still get bikini. You notice, mad women, they get bikini, you know? Because even woman in madness, somebody they chase her. Mad woman, get person they toast her. Mad woman. Women are used to attention. People are always interested in women. I mean mad men, you see, they carry bikini. Hey, mad men, you see, they get house. Homeless, come on, move out of here. And go stone you, madman. But woman, you say, come. Check it. Get a product, give men to market, give women to market. You will see who will bring results. The man go market, no go sell one. Because as he's knocking the person's gate, the person wants to say from gate. Yes, what can I help you? He say, give me, sir. My name is John. I'm selling brother. We're not buying. Leave here. Please leave this place. We are busy. They won't even answer from the gate. Let a woman go and sell that same thing and knock on that door. Say, how are you? Help me. Come inside. Come. Don't stay in the sun. Come. Sit down. What are you selling? He said, we're selling computer parts. He said, we don't even have computer, but we'll buy. Because one day we'll buy computer. Let me buy the parts now. Because one day I will buy. Then we buy. They are going to listen to the woman. Well, that man, they didn't even let him come inside. So the world of women, they have attention. So if a woman raises a boy, he's going to think that's how life is. Because the mother will be pointing attention on him. He will think that's how everybody will treat him outside. So you go outside expecting people to be nice to him. Not knowing that you're a man. Nobody will send you. Somebody getting this? Try it anywhere. Let police stop you. Some women harass police. He said, okay, I cannot stop. I'm going to my busy. You are disturbing me. They go leave him. Say, they go. Say, I'm a woman. That's what they do. They go. Man, try him. Police stop you. He said, don't tell me. He said, okay, come down. Like flat. And go beat nonsense. Come everybody. In the world of women, they have attention. Men don't have that kind of attention. So if a woman raises a man, you see me, we'll be expecting the whole world to treat him nice. Praise God. So that girl will learn how to be a mother from her mother. The boy will learn how to be a father and a man from his dad. In a home where dad is not complete, it always takes a divine intervention for things to balance out. Praise the Lord. They found out that one of the things that makes a woman sound emotionally is the love of her own father. Once that love is not there, she will be looking for the love from men. Not knowing that, you see, the love of your father is an unconditional love that requires no payment. She doesn't know that. So because she doesn't have a father's love, she'll be looking for men outside to give her love. Not knowing that the men outside, they don't mind to give you love, only that it comes at a cost. It's not free. He can pay you attention, just that you will follow him home. He can buy you drink, fine, but you will follow him home. But you see, love of a father is not like that. Your father will buy you things for free. Men outside are not like that. So if you don't have love of a father, you go outside and be looking for love outside. I laugh. God created the system for us to draw from our parents. That's the original mentoring plan of God. Let's see Malachi chapter 2. Your parents' marriage is supposed to affect your own. That's the plan. So this is a two-way message. First, I'm challenging you here. Please have a good marriage. Your children need it. Your children need to see what a good marriage looks like. Please let them see it. If you don't teach them, somebody else will teach them. How many of you here have children? Can I see your hand? You have children? Can I see your hand? Please, let me see your hand. I want to see people have children. Okay? Good. For those of you that have children. Those of you that don't have children too, listen along. This will help you. Please, when you have children, don't be too quick to send them away to different people. Because sometimes when you have children, they disturb you so much, you want to be sowing them as a seed. Honestly, I'm telling you now in advance. I'm telling you in advance now. Children will disturb you. So when they are, especially when they are young and they don't hear word well, they'll disturb you very much. So you will have tendency to say, go to grandma, go to grandpa, go to uncle. Go, you will have the tendency. You see, go to school. You will feel like school, they should keep him longer. You know, it's close 8 p.m. 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. So that by the time they come back, they're ready to sleep. You will have that temptation. But you see, you want other people to train your children. Your children will start to learn the voice of other people. And they will not learn your own voice. It's important that they learn your voice. It's important that you are the one that forms their culture and their attitude and their behavior. Let them draw from you. Most times, parents are giving every other person access to their children. They are not speaking to their children's life. Let them learn from you. Praise God. my son, he did jam, and you know the jam this year was generally bad. I think they said about 50 people so scored above 150. Or so. I can't remember 250. Or so I can't remember, but it was sure bad. So his own was the computer one. So I told him that you can't write this jam more than this. This is your last time of writing jam. You have to pass. So I began to motivate him. I said, you know what? I showed him one of my wristwatches, very fine watch, expensive watch, nice watch. I said, if you pass the jam, I'll give you this watch first of all. Then if you pass the jam, you can point and kill any phone you want. Okay, I asked him for phone. I said, pass jam first, leave phone, pass jam. When you pass jam, point and kill any phone. The result has come out. He passed. Where were he passed? Now, he don't first take the watch today. I like watches, so you should know it's a sacrificial offering. He don't take the watch. So he don't point out the phone where he want. The phone cost about 120K. I'm still thinking. I'm praying that I'm a preacher. I can talk him out of that desire. It's part of my job. I can preach him out of it. That listen to me, child of God. You don't need a 120,000 naira phone. God can give you better in a smaller phone. It's not the price of the phone. It's the price of the man holding the phone. Listen to me. That's one option. I can preach him out of the desire of the phone and buy him a cuff too. That is 10K or something. Or I can keep my integrity. Because the challenge is this. I can talk him out of the phone, but the challenge is this. It means on that day, if I want to make a deal, I can't be trusted. That's the problem. Because tomorrow, if I tell him, if you do this, I'll do this for you, how is he sure I'm going to do it? If I've already started breaking my commitment now. So that's the challenge. I can talk him out of the phone. That would be very easy. I preach for a living. I've been doing it for 20 years. I can preach it. If I preach about that, why 120,000 phone is bad, even you yourself, you go sell your own phone now. And they talk to you. You will sell your own phone. And but the issue is that tomorrow, because I've told him that if he maintains first class to year two or so, I'll buy him a power bike. He said, the flex. That's why you should have a rich father. I'm telling you now. That's why you should have a rich father. Your father should like to hear your father talk. You know our heavenly father is like that too. Very lavish. Very lavish. So, all this promise, if I break this one now, will I be confident to make another promise in the future? That's what I'm thinking. That's my own dilemma. Not the money. 120,000, small do. I can squeeze myself and do it. That's not the issue. My issue is that if I psych him out of this 120K, what of when I need him to step up on something? I need to step up on his character or something. I want to tell him that, look, if he can do this, we'll do this. I have no integrity again to say any other, make another promise if I don't keep this one. If I keep this one, I can break on that one in the future. But this first one, it's important to keep it. Praise God. So later, you advise me what to do. Or what do you think I should do? When I do it. Because nobody in our pockets, they come out. Easy to advise when it don't cost you anything. But I'm just trying to say, you see, so integrity in the whole business of parenting matters. That's what I'm trying to say. You know, let be the kind of parents that your children can draw strength from. They should look at your marriage, they should look at your life and be inspired. Your greatest honor as a human being is when your own children call you mentor. Not that my pastor is my mentor, that's fine, but they should call you mentor. Not that my boss is my mentor, that's fine. They should call you. You don't have to be rich to do that, but you just have to be a great guy. Okay. Malachi 2. Verse 15. Praise God. When I asked Maggie the price of the phone, and she gave me the bad news, I thought for a long time. I'm still thinking. Malachi 2, 15. I'm reading NIV or so. It said, has not the one God made you? You belong to him in body and spirit. And what does the one God seek? It said, godly what? Offspring. That's what God wants. This scripture was talking about marriage. You understand that? Has he not made you one? Let me see if I can go. Verse 14. DJ, put verse 14 up so that I will just, let me read it complete. DJ. Okay, good. You ask why, because God was no more collecting their offering and they were saying why. So you ask why. He said, is it because the Lord is acting as the witness between you? Okay, it is because the Lord is acting as the witness between you and the wife of your youth. Because you have broken faith with her, though she is your partner, the wife of your marriage, what? Covenant. Next verse, it says, has not the Lord made them one in flesh and spirit? They are his. And why one? See, that means why did God bring two of them together as one? Why did he bring marriage? He said, because he was seeking what? Godly offspring. In God's mind, one of the reasons why he put marriage together is so that two godly parents can raise a godly offspring. Praise the Lord. So guys, your children should look at your marriage and be happy. So you have to do your marriage right. If your own parents' marriage now is not the ideal that you want, you need to look at their own marriage in the mirror of the Word of God. If their own marriage doesn't meet God's standard, please don't copy. Don't just copy anything you see. Don't just copy. Some guys here, you grew up in a home where chop money. You know chop money? You grew up in a home where chop money was like, what's that thing we're doing that those people are sleeping in Abuja? National Conference, Jerry. They show us picture of them sleeping. I believe that's what they are doing. You understand? Collecting chop money shouldn't be a national conference. Some of you grew up in a home where before your mother collect chop money. And the chop money, she's cooking food for the man. And the man still makes a big issue. How much is this in crayfish? I will follow you to go and price the crayfish. If you grew up in that kind of home, you will call that normal. You will think that's normal. You will think that's even the best. If you grew up in a home where your father beats your mother, you will think that's normal. You would think that's normal. If you grew up in a home where your father insults your mother or your mother insults your father, ladies, you would think that's normal. We handled a case one time. A couple was always breaking up. Since they've gotten married, there's been one quarrel after the other. The lady always moves to her parents' house or her mom's house and they'll bring her back, move, you know, different issues. So, me, I always investigate from the roots. So I said, okay, what did your mother say when you moved back? She said she should stay. She should not go back to my husband's house. I said, where is your father? She said, my mother has left my father long ago. I said, I'm not surprised. If your mom left her own husband, she will find it comfortable to tell you to leave your husband. It's going to be very normal for her. And you too, you think it's normal. Somebody, if your mother has stayed with your father in spite of your father's bad behavior for long, if your husband misbehaves, you know you can't go and meet your mother. There's no room. She won't allow you to stay. She can't allow you to stay because she didn't run from her own husband's house. She can never give you room to stay. So you need to be careful what exactly you are copying. You need to be careful what exactly you are seeing. Because what you see, what you behold is what you become. If your parents' marriage is not in line with God's perfect will, you need to make the adjustment. You need to renew your mind by the word of God. There's a way finances are meant to be run in a home. There is what true love is. You will learn these things from your parents' marriage. In some homes, you will know when money has gone down because quarrel is much now. And you will know where there's plenty of money because everybody's in a good mood. Those are wrong things. Because marriage is a commitment. It has nothing to do whether we have money or not. The Bible says it's better to live in a house where you eat herbs than to live in one in a big house where there's meat but there's no love. Is somebody getting this? So the real culture and values you will learn should be scriptural, not just from your village. In some tribes, women are not seen as important. Especially in Africa, there are many tribes like that where women are not. When men are talking, women go and sit at the back. If you grow up in a home like that, you'll be tempted to duplicate that. If a woman too grows up in a home like that, she will think she too. That's God's will for her. You need to renew your mind with God's perfect idea of what marriage is. I've not seen any couple that is doing the word of God and having trouble in their marriage. Every trouble you have in marriage because somebody is applying native wisdom. Somebody is applying wisdom that is not from the word of God. There is the wisdom of God and there's the wisdom of the devil. There's the wisdom of this world. They are all in scriptures. There are different kinds of wisdom. The wisdom of this world cannot give you a good marriage. It wasn't equipped to give you a good marriage. You can't learn the wisdom of God just by watching one guy on TV or on the internet writing about how he feels. Love is beyond a feeling. Love includes a feeling, but it's not limited to a feeling. It is beyond a feeling. True love is a commitment. You can learn that from scriptural values. Hallelujah. You learn what a real marriage is like. You know, some things some people call generational curses. They are not generational causes anything. They are just generational attitudes. Is somebody getting this? You know, Africans, we like to spiritualize things. I'll show you a few scriptures. We like to spiritualize things. Genesis 12. We'll read this, then we'll take some questions. Genesis 12, from verse 10, to 20, we can't read everything, but let's just start to read it. You see where Abraham denied his wife. And there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Next verse. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarah his wife, behold, I know that thou art a beautiful woman. That what fair means. He said, therefore shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, they shall say, this is his wife. They will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Next verse. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. How does this work? If I tell you, if she says you are her sister, fine, they will leave you alive, but they will want to marry her. So, how does it work? So, he was trying to save himself to put her in trouble. If you grow up in a home where that's how the men behave, You will likely behave. See, because you have seen that image, sometimes you don't even know it's inside you until the opportunity comes to act it out. Are you getting this? Some of you grew up in a home where your father just sits at home and read newspaper every morning to night. No work. You're going to raise men that are going to be lazy. As a woman, marry well. The man mustn't be rich, but he should be able to show. He should be an example of what a man should look like. Should go to work. Even if his work doesn't involve going out, he should be working. He should take responsibility. See, on that case, it didn't stop here. Abraham did this thing again, Genesis 20, verse 1 to 18. He did it again. Genesis 20. It says, and Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and all that. Next verse. He said, and Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and what? Took Sarah. He did exactly the same thing again. They went somewhere and said, she's my sister. So the king said, ah, that's fine. The king sent for his wife. Now, Abraham and Sarah were half-sisters. But this was still wrong because he was saying, she's my sister, meaning you can carry her. Isaac grew up and did exactly the same thing. Because that's what he saw. They did it twice. So it was Abraham's attitude. Isaac did his own. Genesis 26, from 7 to 11. And the men of that place, Genesis 26, 7 to 11, said, the men of that place asked him of his wife. This was Isaac. Asked him of his wife. And he said, she is what? My sister. Exactly the same words of his father. For he what? Feared to say, she is my wife. Lest, said he, the men of the place should what? Exactly what his father said. You know, if a Nigerian or a deliverance pastor read this story now, he will say there's a generational curse, now there's a demon chasing them. It's no demon, it's just attitude. Your children are going to draw, they're going to drink from you. When children are young, their spirit is like a magnet. It's like, it's drawing anything they see. They can pick anything. I mean, my daughter stayed in America for about 3 months or 2 months. She was speaking for now. She was speaking American neat. But you know, if an adult stay in three months, you know, your tongue no go don't change yet because you're not, you don't learn as fast. Have you ever wondered how your children learn languages? How did your child learn English? How did your child even learn your native tongue if your child's been? There was no school that you went to teach him Igbo. But just because he or she is in that house where Igbo is being spoken or Yoruba is being spoken, they will just magnet it. And guess what? It's not only your language that they pick. They're also picking your culture. Your culture doesn't mean tying feather or tying rapao. No, no, no. I mean your culture as in behavior. They are picking behavior. Do you know from when a child is young, a child doesn't know racism, doesn't know tribalism. From when a child is young, all children are children. When a child is young, he plays with any tribe, plays with any race. It's when they grow, when they start to grow, they have now learned racism and tribalism from their parents because they've been hearing their parents say, we don't marry Igbo, we don't marry Yoruba, we don't marry Edo. They've been hearing it. Even if you didn't teach them, they've been hearing you say it. They've been seeing in your attitude that whenever an Igbo person calls you, there's a way you talk. Whenever a Yoruba person calls you, there's a way you behave. They've heard all your slangs for calling other tribes. So before you know it, they grow up having the same mentality unconsciously. That we don't relate with that tribe. We don't relate with that race. There is no racist from birth. There's no tribalist or tribalism from birth. Children learn this thing from their parents. And some of you here need to be cured of some of those things because you grew up in a home where your parents didn't appreciate other tribes. They deceived you to think your tribe is the best tribe in the whole world. And yet you have a police station in your village. If you are the best tribe, you shouldn't need a police station. Yet there's a shrine in your village because you still have idol worshippers. Are you getting this, somebody? They are picking things. It's not everything that's generational curse. It's not any spirit. It's an attitude flowing from your parents to the children. It might be laziness. It might be talkativeness. It might be unfaithfulness. It might be. I don't even know how to. Treachery, deceitfulness. You know that you see all those small things you are doing. You are home and you tell the child to tell somebody you're not around. Big lesson. That's a big lesson. You've taught the child. You talk to somebody and the person goes out, and when the person was there, you were agreeing. Ah, yes, sir. Just, thank you. Yes, sir. Let's go. He said, idiot. Your child has seen deceit. He has seen deceit. He has just learned deceit from you. That it's possible to be saying one thing in somebody's face and saying that thing in the person's back. That's how culture transcends. That's how it passes. It's not demon. The children see their parents live like that. They carry it on from generation after generation. There are some cultures you are the one that should stop it in your lineage. Stop it. In some families, the wedding after wedding, they enter into debt. They owe. In your generation, stop it. There's some families, you having child outside wedlock is standard. You must first be pregnant before you wed. You stop it. Let them see the right way should be done. In some homes, the women that marry the men, the woman has money, then buys one man. Any man just finds. Pay him. Buy him. Be the difference. Hallelujah. Be the difference. I've seen it. I've studied it. All. Check the homes that the women are the breadwinners and are the ones running the family. Hard for any man to grow up in that house and have sense. Hard. Especially because if a woman is the breadwinner, she will so love everybody in the house, the man will even be more, will be lazier than normal. Because somebody's always paying his bills. He'll be talking like a baby. Yeah, I'm not eating. Because his mother will take care of him. Say, woman, don't marry that kind of man. No. Except he's willing to change, willing to get a positive role model, a real man to mentor him, so that he can see what manhood is about. You see, woman, let me tell you this. Some things you're trying to teach a man, you don't have the capacity to teach him. If you try to talk to him about it, it's just nagging. But if another man tells him about it, then it's coaching. It's mentoring. Are you getting to somebody? Women, you need to understand this. Some things you can never teach the man to do. He will never do it if you're the one saying it. Even if he thinks you are right, just because you are trying to control him, he won't do it. But if another man that is a positive role model, somebody he admires, somebody that inspires him, somebody that he wants to be like when he grows, if that person tells him that take your wife out, go on vacation, he will pack his load and do it fast. But if you tell him he's nagging, then you don't tell me you love me. Don't tell me you love me. You say, my friend, don't stop me. Tell his mentor. His mentor will call him. John, say, how are you?
How are you doing?
I'm fine, sir.
Where are you?
I'm outside, sir.
When did you take your wife for vacation last?
Sir, well,
go immediately.
He will go. But if your woman come and say, you know, I don't think you say, go and see that woman. What do you know? That was, I told you the story of, I'm going to end with this. I told the story of when they were starting a new park. You know, all these white people, they always start these parks where they keep animals, all these animal parks. You know, this real life park. So they started a new one and they brought a right, is it an elephant now? Yeah, they brought a young male elephant and they also brought some young rhinos. And they found out that the elephant was killing the rhinos. Killing the rhinos. Anyway, he sees the rhinos, he kill them. And they called some experts. Thank God they didn't call Africans. If they call Africans, they say your enemy is at work. He doesn't want your progress. Fast! 30 days! Nonsense. They called some professionals and those guys came and said, it's simple. This is a young male. He has not been mentored. He doesn't know that elephants don't fight rhinos. They don't fight. He has not grown up in a system. He's a young male with so much energy, no sense yet. That's what happens when if you marry a man that doesn't have a mentor, he will think his muscle is to beat you. He will know his muscle is to protect you. He has muscle, he has to use the muscle and energy. He needs to know what the muscle and energy is for. It's to protect you and to provide for you. But if he doesn't know that, he will use the energy to beat you. So the guy told them, simple, go and bring a mature male elephant. And that's all they did. Brought a mature male elephant. Immediately landed, the younger elephant began to follow the male elephant and he stopped killing. He just knew that, okay, we don't fight rhinos. He said, no, we don't. Some elephant said, ah, Oga, see rhino, make we kill them.
We know they fight rhino.
True?
Yes.
So what are we going to do?
They chop.
And the trouble stopped. The trouble stopped. No more killing. Praise God. It's not a demon. It's a cultural issue. Praise God. So, the positive role model for men is very important. Same thing for women. Same thing for women. Somebody that will show them how this thing is done. There's a way some women talk to their husband. You were wondering, I mean, where did you learn that from? Probably at home. Probably at home. You saw your mother tear your father to pieces with words.
So you two get married and you want to reproduce that. To you, it's okay. It's normal because that's what you saw for about 20 or 25 years of your life. You saw your mother bring out a machine gun of words and pieces your father. And before your father could cock and shoot one. Say, what did you... Do man go talk 10. He doesn't even know the one to answer. I say, I don't even know which one to answer you. One parent's marriage is like, if they are broken up or whatever, that doesn't mean they are disqualified. What you should do is to find out what their mindset is about a broken marriage. If they see it as a possibility, then that's a sign for you to know that this person can bail out if necessary. Praise God. That's what it means. Okay. So do your investigation well. Find out the person's parents' marriage. Then find out what they think. So what they think that is most important. Have you been blessed today? Praise God.
We know you've been blessed by this message. To order a copy of this message or any of our messages, you can call us on 080-777-14411 or 080-777-14412. Or you can visit our website on www.davidschristiancenter.org. David's Christian Center, home of victorious people.